Wasn't easy, but we got it. Is it recording? 6, 7, 8? Okay, the parasha is Noshe. I'd like to talk a little bit about Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim. Now, in Israel, we know a lot about Birkat Kohanim. You go to shul, there's always Birkat Kohanim. It's not like in Chutz La'aretz, where it was a major event of Jewish history. Everybody got excited. There was Birkat Kohanim. We don't have that. We have Birkat Kohanim every day, every tefillah, at least in Yerushalayim. Not every place in Eretz Yisrael, but in many places. That's the way we do it. And Birkat Kohanim in Shmona Esrei is somehow a reflection of the mitzvah min haTorah of Birkat Kohanim. The mitzvah min haTorah Birkat Kohanim is stated clearly in our parasha. It's the first source on top of the page. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor. And then you have a pasuk in which the nisuach is a little strange. Daber al Aharon vel banav le'emor. Right? Speak to Aharon and his sons. This is a mitzvah for them, for Aharon and his sons. Kol tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael, emor lahem. Kol tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael means, this is how you should bless Israel. And then the words emor lahem are perhaps unnecessary. But this is how you, and then the Torah could have continued with the brachot, but it adds the words emor lahem. So Rashi says, and he says two things. First, Rashi says, "Kamo zachor v'shamor." Now, you know, zachor v'shamor are two words in the Torah, right? In the Aseret HaDibrot, zachor and shvot, and zachor and shamor in Dvarim. The Aseret HaDibrot come in the Torah twice. When Rashi says kimo zachor v'shamor, he means it's some kind of Rashi never gave it a name, but it means that it has a like permanent ongoing quality. So zachor is what you do every Shabbat, and shamor is what you do every Shabbat, whatever that is, and Amor is what the Kohanim do all the time. They do this all the time. Now then the second thing that Rashi says, Amor lahem shukulam shom'im. Sheyukulam shom'im. That all the Kohanim, the Aaron HaKohen and his sons should all be listening. Amor, third comment. Malay. Malay? What does Malay mean? With the vav, right? You know, it's always an exciting event when you know how to spell a word in Hebrew, because there are always two ways to do it. Malay, chaser. Okay? So here, Rashi says malay. Malay means, it doesn't mean what you said. It means, I would have expected it to be chaser, because if you look at a concordance, which I did not do, and you look up the word amor, you'll see that it appears many times without a vav. But in this case, emor lahem means, where is it? Oh, here it is. Malay. Malay? What does malay indicate? Why did the Torah take the trouble to write the word malay, which is statistically like a noticeable thing? I mean, we don't know if it means anything, but it's noticeable. You can write the word this way, you can write the word that way, but most of the time, you write it without a vav. So Rashi says, Lo tivarchem v'chipazon u'behilut ela b'kavana u'belev shalem. So now somebody would have to explain to me what the connection is between the vav and the interpretation of the vav. But apparently what Rashi is saying is something like this. The vav says that the word is special. What's special about it? Oh, there you have to look into Chazal. Chazal will tell you what's special. And the way that Rashi operates, he never asked that question. He never asked the question about the drasha. How do Chazal know that this teacher yields this information? That was not Rashi's interest. Rashi's interest was in telling us the pshat. What does the word really mean? That was Rashi's interest. Okay? You have to understand. And Rashi also thought that Chazal knew the pshat. That's what Rashi thought. So when he's teaching us Chumash, when Rashi teaches Chumash, he has to tell us what's the pshat, and what the connection of the pshat to the pasuk is. So the pshat is that there's a special demand on the Kohanim to say the Birkat Kohanim b'kavanah, and not too quickly, and not irrespectfully. And where does the Torah emphasize this idea? Or where does it give us a hook on which to place this idea? With the extra vav. But that doesn't mean that the extra vav has meaning. Right? It doesn't mean that. It just means, hey, there's something special in this word. This is what it is. It's not because there is some derivative that you can't squeeze the word emor and get that out of it. And you don't have to. Okay? Then the first bracha is Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha. Everybody knows. Yivarecha Chavi Yishmerecha. What's the obvious question? Doesn't Yivarecha imply V'yishmerecha? I mean, what would be the good of God giving you stuff and then having somebody steal it? Right? That would be, so obviously a bracha would ordinarily include the ability to retain the bracha. I mean, isn't that the same? We say, God, bracha. So that means you want to be able to keep it for a day after you get it. You don't want to lose it. So the bracha, the nusach of the bracha, suggests a question. Yivarecha Hashem, v'yishmerecha. What do you need v'yishmerecha? What do you need v'yishmerecha? So Rashi says, Yivarecha, sheyitvarchu misachecha. Like, you know, whatever you have should grow. The stock portfolio should grow. Yivarecha Hashem, sheyitvarchu misachecha, v'yishmerecha, shelo yavo alecha shodidim litol mamoncha. So I guess Rashi feels that the shodidim, they work independently of God. Because having the shodidim, so they have nothing to do, so they're not impressed by a divine gift. They think that whatever people have is for them to steal. So yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, shadotein matana la'avdo, eino yechol l'shomro mikol adam. You see, Rashi understands that there's something cockeyed here. How could it be that God gives it to you and then some other nudda comes along, takes it away? What does it mean? I mean, this is the truth. I mean, the truth. I'm not saying statistical truth. I'm nervous about using the word statistics at this time, but, you know, most tragedy, or much tragedy, comes as the result of bracha. Like, you know, if somebody dies, Rachmana Litzlan, that somebody, the more there was a bracha, the greater is the tragedy. So Rashi, perhaps, is tuned in to this fact. And he says that the Yivarecha Hashem is not enough to get a bracha, but you have to get a bracha against the tragedy as well. And that's what Rashi means when he says, "Shelo yavo alecha shodidim litol mamoncha, shadotein matana la'avdo." Somebody who gives a present to his servant, eino yechol l'shamro mikol adam. He can't protect the servant wherever he goes, whatever he does. Right? So there's a certain kind of, you know, fault in the system. Kevan sheba'im listim alav v'notlim otam mimenu. Since if the robbers come to the slave and take away the gift that he received, what sort of pleasure does he have from this gift? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's only about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you could say this demand, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the world, not only in charge of the present. I mean, I don't know why Rashi said it. I don't even know if Rashi said that. But what it means is that Rashi is telling us what the pshat is. And we know that there are, in the Midrash, this question is asked again and again in different ways. And I don't know who wrote those words. No, it could have been Rashi, it could have been a Talmid of Rashi, it could have been a friend of Rashi. There's no way to tell, right? There were no Kitvei Yad. Amazingly, there are no Kitvei Yad of Rashi. That Rashi wrote, I mean. I don't mean Kitvei Yad that some other guy wrote. I mean Kitvei Yad of Rashi. And generally, the Rashi that's referred to, the Rashi referred to as being authentic or a good, the best Rashi, is a printed version of Rashi. In Kunabala, right, the 15th century, you know, there was a time when people started printing books, and the first 100 years of printed books, those books are called In Kunabala. So there is a printed book called Rashi, which contains only Rashi. There's no Chumash, there's no Psukim, just Rashi al HaTorah, and that is considered the best version of Rashi. That's the, I think, you know, if you know Art Scroll, they put out a Chumash and Rashi once. It was very good, actually. You know, I'm sparse in my compliments about the Art Scroll. But this is very good. It's a Chumash and Rashi and a commentary. It's not the one volume that people use. I have a brown one. It's this big. Mine, but have it smaller. It's very good. It's excellent. If you want to learn Rashi and you have trouble getting through it, that's a good place to look. But not the other book. The other book, the one volume Chumash, which I have, is blue. Blue. So, what? I also can't see anything in it. It's very small. They have a bigger version also. I don't have the bigger version. But the Rashi, the Chumash and Rashi is really excellent. But here, I think they used this print, the first printed edition of Rashi as the basis of their text. Second pasuk, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha V'Yichunecha. Right? You understand that Ya'er Panim, we've learned about this in the past. Ya'er or Panim, the light of the face, is saying something both intimate and significant about the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man. So you say, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. I have no idea what that does. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai the second time, his whole face lit up, right? The Torah made his face light up. Ki be'or panecho nasata lanu, Torah's chai v'avas chesed. You ever hear that before? All right. Maybe you should try shul, or... Ki be'or panecho nasata lanu, what does it mean? I don't know. I mean, even though I understand the words, right? Sometimes, you know, that really gets you. You know what the words mean, but you don't know what it's saying. Ki b'or panecha natata lanu Torat chayim v'avat chesed. Ki b'or panecha natata lanu. It was by the medium of or panim, the light of your face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, natata lanu, that light is a medium for giving. Right? Of course, it has to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that light being an element, a physical element of great significance, there's nothing else like light. For those of you who are physicists, you know that there's nothing like light. Light is, you know, it fills up all the space, it can be contained in a box, right? It's not clear how it works, whether it's this kind of physical reality or that kind of physical reality. Light is a wondrous thing, and you know, it just goes on forever. And forever, like you shoot a ray of light, nothing will stop it. Unless it turns out really that the universe is curved, and then it kind of hits a dead end. and goes zapping around that way. But who knows? We still don't know. I mean, it's like today people say that the universe is constantly expanding. That's except for the people who say that the universe is constantly contracting. So if we don't know exactly what's going to happen to the light, but it goes, even if it's expanding or contracting, there's nothing to be nervous about. The world will not come to an end in the near future, right? This is all like speculation. The scientists also like to speculate. So that's what Ba'or Panecho, Rashi says, Yo Hashem Panam Elecho, Yo Elecha Panim So Chakot Panim Tzuhuvot. God will look upon you with a happy face. A happy face. A yellow face. I guess that's kind of happy. Then, the last word in the second bracha is V'yichuneka. Another word that we don't understand. The word chen. Chen, remember? Noach motza chen. Noach was somehow looked upon with chen from heaven. What it means, it's hard to know. Rashi says, V'yichuneka yitain lecha chen. Which doesn't help us. And if you look at that pasuk that I mentioned, V'noach motza chen, at the end of Bereishit, you'll see that Rashi does not comment. Of course, the Rashi comments on the fact that the nun, chen, the nun sofit, what we call a nun sofit, is backwards. And therefore, he says some Karashi says a kind of a drasha. The only problem is that in our Chumashim and Sifrei Torah, it's not backwards. So what I mean to say is, chen is a tricky word. Very tricky. It appears many times in the Tanakh, but if you don't understand it once, you could also not understand it 10 times or 20 times. It's not such a big problem. So Rashi says, the last bracha is, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, V'yasem Lecha Shalom. Again, Panav, this time not or, but the face of God will be turned to you, V'yasem Lecha Shalom. And here, again, Rashi explains, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, Yichbosh Ka'aso. Yisa Panav Elecha. The word Yisa, to bear. To bear is often associated with bearing a sin. That's Yisa. That's what Rashi says. But he doesn't explain. He doesn't explain what Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom. Why V'yasem Lecha Shalom? That Rashi doesn't explain. The last pasuk in this series of psukim, v'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael, v'ani avorachem. V'samu et shmi, place my name on bnei Yisrael. Rashi says, yivarchum b'shem ha-mefarash. This is not the bracha, but in the Beit HaMikdash, when Aaron Ubanav would get up to bless the people, he would bless them b'shem ha-mefarash. I mean, there are different names of God that are used in the Torah. The one that is not used is the shem ha-mefarash. And the shem ha-mefarash is a special name of God that had 42 letters in it. This is in the Gemara and Sukkah. And also we know that wherever it says Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Torah, it's vocalized every place. And if you didn't know this, take a look. Yud Kei Vav Kei is always vocalized as though the word was Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the way we read it. We read it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yes? So it means under the Yud is a Patach. And the Hey is followed by a Cholam. And then the last Vav, the vowel is a komatz. And that's called a kri tmidi. A kri tmidi. We always, when that word comes up, we read it as though another word was written in the Torah. So whenever we see yud kei vav kei, we read aleph, dalet, nun, yud. And the vocalization in the printed Torah, in the printed Chumashim that we use, right, has the vocalization of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Under Yud Kei Vav Kei, this was all true until the Korain Tanakh came along. And the Korain, the people in Korain, they decided, and it was a momentous decision. I don't know if it was good or bad, but it was momentous. They decided that they would print Yud Kei Vav Kei and not vocalize it at all. Leave it unvocalized. Then you look at it, you say, what's going on? And you look at the side. It says Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud with the vocalization of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. I hope that this was clear. It's perfectly clear to me. All right, so I hope I was able to clarify this. So Rashi says, oh, are you checking? Tzvi, is it true?
It doesn't have vowels, but I don't see what...
Where? What book are you looking at?
The Quran and Chumash.
But which Chumash? A Chumash? Oh, I don't know. If it's not there, then give it back. Get another one. All right. Maybe they don't print it every time, because there's a note someplace that says, every time you get the Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're supposed to read Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. This is not 100% true, as you know, right? If you have Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud Kei Vav Kei, so you read one of them as Elohim. But one is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and one is Elohim. Sometimes there's a lack of corroboration between the different traditions about what you read when. Okay. So in the Beit HaMikdash, the Birkat Kohanim was said with the Shema Meforash. They didn't say Bracha. Like today, when there's a Birkat Kohanim, there's a Bracha, right? But there was a time before these brachot, before these birkot hamitzvah were invented. And that was in the Beit HaMikdash, so they just said, Yivarechecha, v'ani avarchem Yisrael v'askim ima kohanim. So here you have a theological statement, if there ever was one, or a statement about how the world works. Rashi says, v'ani avarchem, God says, and then I will bless them, Li Yisrael. I will bless Yisrael, va'askim im hakohanim. So that the Torah says, you want to get a brocha, get the kohanim to do this, and then the brocha will come from heaven, so to speak, in agreement with the kohanim. That's remarkable. What does God need the kohanim for? What does God have to agree with the Kohanim? So of course, this is something that the Kabbalah will deal with rather extensively, but right now we're learning Rashi, we don't understand why it should be this way, so Rashi says, Devar Acher, so I can relax. Whenever Rashi says, Devar Acher, I can relax, because I think that, you know, at least according to the way we learned in school, it's because Rashi is not so happy with what he said before. That's the way they taught me when I was a kid. I can't imagine that that's right today. I mean, Rashi really knew what he was talking about. You know, like something I've decided after many years. I don't think that Rashi would have put in the first comment because he didn't like it. And then say, Davar Acher, that seems to be absolutely the most ridiculous thing imaginable. But that's the way I learned, I remember. That was considered to be very modern, I guess. So you have to watch out with modernity also, because it passes. Davar Acher ani avarchem lakohanim. Oh, that's a totally different ball of wax. It's like saying, in order for B'nai Yisrael to get a bracha, so then they have to be good. But in order for the kohanim to get a bracha, they have to give a bracha. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that shortly. Okay. Let's look at the Ramban. So that's Rashi. We learned Rashi. Now we'll look at the Ramban quickly. He quotes what he said in the parasha of Shmini. You know, remember the parasha of Shmini? That was the parasha where the Mishkan was put up. Remember that 7 days, Moshe took apart the Mishkan, and he made Miluim, and then Aaron, on the eighth day, when the Mishkan was finally set up, blessed Bnei Yisrael, but the blessing is missing from the Torah. We don't know what blessing he gave. Rashi says, this bracha, this is what he said, Rashi in Shmini. So the Ramban says, Ki tzivat Aaron laseit et yadav el ha'am levrechotam b'yom ahu. The kansiva, in other words, there the bracha was, and except there the tzivui to Aaron HaKohen was exceptional. It's like Hashem said to Aaron HaKohen, this day is special, on this special day, give them a bracha. Right? It just happens that the bracha that Aaron gave was the same as the bracha that he is being commanded to give here by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Ramban says. V'kansiva l'dorot, l'aron uvanav, upirish habracha shivarchu otam. And here, Hashem actually stated the bracha. Say this, even though Aaron HaKohen already said it. He said it, but he said it only once for the people. But now, when Hashem is talking to Aaron ubanav, his children, he tells them the words, Kisham Siva Hashem et habracha, Chayim ad haolam. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara Soto says that only in the Beit HaMikdash did they say the same HaMeforash, the Kohanim. But outside of the Beit HaMeforash, Medina, Uva Medina. Medina means either city or country. Like whichever fits in for you. But even if it's in the city of Yerushalayim, they didn't say the Birkat Kohanim with the Shem HaMeforash outside of the Beit HaMikdash. BeMikdash ayu omrim ota bracha achat ubigvulin shalosh brachot. In the Beit HaMikdash they said one bracha, meaning Yivrecha atav Yishrecha Amen. That's what one bracha means. One bracha, one Amen. Outside of the Beit HaMikdash they do it the way we do it. Yivrecha Hashem Yishrecha Amen. Three brachot, three amen. So in the Beit HaMikdash it was one bracha, and it was the Shem HaMeforash, right, the special name of God, and that's how, and outside of the Beit HaMikdash it was a kinui, another name for God, and one bracha. Huh? Outside the Beit HaMikdash there's three, I'm sorry. Outside the Beit HaMikdash there was three, that means you said Amen three times. But in the Beit HaMikdash, it was said as one statement, there was no preceding bracha, and after that one statement everybody said Amen. Ki habracha b'mikdash miyuchedet b'shem hamiyuchad. So you know that certain things that prevent you from being mafsik, you don't want to stop in the middle. And one of them say Shem HaMeforash, according to the Ramban. If you say God's name, then you want to get to the end of that section. It's outside of the Beit HaMikdash. They could take note of the fact that in the Torah, it's written in three psukim. But in the Beit HaMikdash, they always treated it as one pasuk because they said the Shem HaMeforash. That's what the Ramban says. Now, the Ramban goes on, he says, V'tami Yivrechecha Hashem V'yishmrecha. Remember, the first bracha, Yivrechecha V'yishmrecha. So I asked, if Yivrechecha, why do you need Yishmrecha? Is it included? And Rashi said, no, it's not included. Because God is not simultaneously in charge. I mean, there's this idea of free will, you may have heard. So if a guy really wants to be a bad guy, or a woman wants to be a bad woman, so it's going to happen. It's not something that God will prevent, but it's going to happen. Al derech ha'emet. So the Ramban says, Kabbalistically speaking, al derech ha'emet. I mean, he's not going to get too involved in Kabbalah, but you have to understand, ki habracha milamala v'shmira shetishmor ota is milamata. There's a word missing. But somehow you have to understand that there's a lamala to the brocha and there's a lamata to the brocha. That what is lemala, the bracha itself, and what is lemata? Lemata is the shmirah on the bracha, just like on Shabbat. Just like on Shabbat. Shabbat, Zachor, like you start with the Zachor, and then you have to do the Shamor, right? Zachor is like positive, positive Shabbat. The main thing in positive Shabbat is that you say Kiddush. Kiddush means that you announce, you are aware, you take part, you are involved in the Shabbat. And Shamor means you don't want to lose it. So you're not going to cook, you're not going to go, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. That's because you don't want to lose the Zachor, which you somehow have. Kitam Zachor v'Shamor, that's what Rashi says, the same thing, but in a different, about a different matter. Rashi says it's like Zachor v'Shamor in terms of the use of the verb, whereas the Ramban says, just like Shabbos means from above and from below, so too the bracha needs the above and the below. Yivrechecha Hashem v'yishmerecho, right, that's what we're talking about. V'od, Ya'er Hashem ha-gadol et panav ha-mebitim b'cha. God will light up his face, so to speak, that are looking upon you. V'kach omru b'sifri. Rav Natan amar ze ma'or shechina. This is the light of God. Okay, I admit that I don't quite understand what that says, but that's what it says in the Pasuk, and that's what the Ramban says. That's what the Ramban says. Ya'er Hashem ponav elecha v'yichuneko. What is v'yichuneko? Shen tisa chein ve'enav. That you should be filled, that God should look upon you with chein. Shen tisa chein ve'enav. Kinyan she'amru, olami, olami, halavai te'e ma'alat chein lefanai b'kol sha'ar. That God wishes that the world will always be satisfying to him, with a big H. God wants to be happy with the world that he has created. So he's a little bit happy because there are Jews who keep the Torah and do the mitzvot, but it's not good enough. More. V'od, Yisa Hashem Panav, right? The last bracha. El Hashamayim, Mima'al, V'yasem Lecha Shalom, Hakol beveitcha, that you'll have peace in your house. V'kach amru b'sifri Rav Nathan Omer Zeh Shalom, Malchut Beit David. Finally, v'samu et shemi agadol al b'nei Yisrael v'ani evarchem ki ani ha-medaber hineni v'shalom. Okay, so the Ramban sort of rewrites the bracha a little bit, but the addition that he makes, is that Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha can only be understood Kabbalistically. If you understand how the world works, and that there is not just, it's not just that we do the mitzvot and we get graded in heaven for a seat in Olam Haba, but that we do what we do, and that has an effect on the world that God created. And in turn, that will have an effect further on the world that God created. That's the Kabbalistic notion. So that mitzvot are not just something that you do because you are looking for the reward, but mitzvot are something that you do because you feel a partnership with God in keeping the world that God has created, keeping that world going. Okay, I don't know if we'll have time for the, I would like to look at the Balaturim, but let's look first at the Hamek Davar. See the second page, the second source. Amor Lahem, you see how there are the this is the Netziv, how the Netziv starts. The Fiyap Shat, Shnei Ofenei Brachot Kohanim Gam BeBeit HaMikdash. There were two kinds of Birkat Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. Chada, b'nisiyat kapayim kemo melech aveiro, v'chada b'tfila, ki de'ito v'asecha tamid, v'la b'brachot, amar lahem amin mune, berchu bracha achat, u'berchu et ha'am, right, u'birkat kohanim. So listen to what he says. He says that there were two different kinds of Birkat Kohanim, even at the time of the Beit HaMikdash. This is something that Rashi did not tell us. Chada, Benisiat kapayim, like you. You pick up your hands. Benisiat kapayim. He says, like you say, like you give a, you talk to your friend, right? You know, Jews, that's how they talk. They wave their hands while they talk. And the other way is as part of tefillah. And that's stated in the Gemara and in the Mishnah and Tamid. You see the second line, the Yesh Omrim Amolahem HaMemuneh. In the Beit HaMikdash there was someone in charge, HaMemuneh. Berchu bracha achat uberchu et ha'am uberkat kohanim. That you should bless the people, right? Not with the kapayim, with the siat kapayim, which is like one-on-one, but the whole nation. Kamosha katava tosfot sham ukfa bi'anu mekor ador d'lavar b'parashat shmini gabei berkat aron b'yom ha'shmini. Mishum hachi perasha katuv kan denuschot shtei abrachot shavin haynu kol tivarchu b'shat tefillah shelo ka'amu lahem. So there's a birkat kohanim b'shat tefillah. That's what we're talking about in the parasha of Nassau. And there's another birkat kohanim that the kohen, that Aaron, could bless the people like they're his friends. Like you talk to your friends and you give them a bracha. And then he goes on, the Ramban, Hamek Davar, he says, Yivarecha Hashem, Nichlal Bazel Lekol Adam Nafi Ra'ui Lo Litbarech. Yivarecha Hashem, it's general. God should bless you with whatever you need. Kemo Shekatuv Sefer Devarim, Ala Pasuk, Velo Yed Panai Yekam, Vivekat Hashem Lekol Hashem Dan Lach, Vabrachat Hei, Lefi Abrachat Shinit Barech Ad Ko. Now you're going to get what you deserve. Lo Seik Batara Belimudo. Lo Seik Bemischur Bischorato. In other words, the Netziv, who was a great fan of Talmud Torah. And in his commentary on the Torah, he talks about Talmud Torah all the time. And talks about the Torah all the time. But here he says that Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha means you get what you need. So if you're a Torah scholar, then you're going to get time and a way to learn Torah. But if you do business, so you'll get a bracha in the business. Kach nichlal b'zoh bracha klalit yivarecha Hashem tosefet l'kol adam v'mashiyesh. You get it? Yivarecha Hashem is like a general statement. God should bless you. It doesn't say with what. But the implication, according to Nitziv, is God should bless you with whatever you need. That's the blessing. V'yishmerecha. Nichol b'o bracha b'yishmira. You have to watch over the brachas. You have chulero eitz chas v'sholeh. It should not become a stumbling block for you, Baal Torah, Ba'i Shmira, Min HaGava, right, you see, there's people who have Torah, they have to be protected against hubris, lack of humility. That's what the Ramban says, you imagine that, I mean, the Netziv says. I mean, I find it hard to believe, actually. But that's what he says. Yes? In other words, you know why? If you go to yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva always talk against ga'va. So everybody always talks about the ill that they know very well. So this is what he says, Ba'alei Torah have this problem of thinking highly of themselves compared to people who don't have Torah. And this might not be such a wondrous quality, he says. V'chilol Hashem v'chadomeh v'chamashmo'o shelo yishkach Baal nechasim ba'esh mirah shelo yash oshel lirato. He says people have a lot of money. Well, they have to make sure that the money is not going to do them in because they have a lot of money. Kmo bekorach. V'navot ha'yisraeli v'hadomeh u'kimashma'o shmira migneva v'aveda. V'chadomeh kol inyana ta'un darka nedrosh l'shmira. So he says, look, shmira is another bracha. Another bracha, it's more or less the same as what Rashi said. The Ramban didn't talk about this, but let's see the last part here. Ya'er Hashem. Haynu sha'kol yirusha alecha zareh Hashem velo shizel hatzlachat ha'mazal. Everybody will see, you get rich, you have a lot of Torah, everybody can see that God is shining from your face. Ya'er Hashem panecha alecha. That The shining will come from you. People will say, oh, this guy's not just rich, he's not just wise, he's also with God. That's what you say. Ke'en l'shona paniti alichem v'yeshu mushkach v'akodesh bocho v'lo nikar sh'ach hashkachat Hashem alav. Sometimes people are watched over by God, but you can't see it. You don't see it in them. They look regular. They look like everybody else. V'em ke'en hashkacha shelo be'ora. It's not light. It's not the hashkacha of light. Aval kasha kol mekirim sh'hashkachat Hashem hi v'atzlachato miyakirei ya'er Hashem panav elecho. When everybody realizes that this guy or this woman is getting whatever they get because the light of God is upon them, so then everybody will take notice. V'ichuneka, the Tzif says, Kabbalat ha-tfilah bakashat mikrei chen v'chesed k'lashon ha-mikra v'ein kovei ela tfilah. That's what the pasuk says. Yehid chanenu lecha kaveinu. Kedetanya b'mechilta b'sifri Moshe Rabbein Mishata Egel Amar b'smichut libo batuach b'Hashem sheishma tfilato mishum shata amarta ki matzata chein b'einai matzata chein b'einai kamo shekatu b'sefer Shmot u'mizeh atam darshu b'chagiga kol osek b'torah b'lala chut shel chesed mashuch alav b'yom shenema yom sabah Hashem chasdo v'lalu shira emi Tvila lekel chayai. Perush, ma yechazdo shitzva Hashem al haosek b'shira b'layla, haynu tvila lekel chay. Shetugubal tvilato, v'hine achash yer Hashem panav, hakol yiru shahuvata b'einav. Yitbarach memeila muvan shivakshu b'nei adam imcha litpalel b'raotehem. U'mishum hachi, hismicha bracha lazeh, Vayichunecha, or Vayichunecha, shetekuval tefilatcha gam avur achayrim. So he explains what chayin is. Chayin, a person who has chayin, is the person that Hashem cannot turn down. So that the bracha complete, the end of the bracha, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha, v'yaseim lecha shalom, is now that you are that kind of person, you can be appointed to pray for the others. Because when they see that you are walking with God, they're going to come to ask you to pray for them. And the chayin that you have, the special notice that you have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm looking at you, that's what's going to enable you to be a successful to daven successfully for others. So that the Netziv helped us about a few things. He said that there's this business of like two kinds of Birkat Kohanim, one with the Kapayim and one without the Kapayim. We don't know exactly what he's talking about. Let's look at the Kedushat Levi. Kedushat Levi. See at the top of the page, that's the Baditshuva. Akralu kach, second line. Bine abal shem tov hayam uchiach tamid et ha'olam bazeh pasuk. He says, I'll tell you something that the Baal Shem Tov used to say all the time. The pasuk says, Pasuk says, Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem Tzilcha. You remember? God is your shadow. Hashem Tzilcha. What does it mean according to the Baal Shem Tov? The Hainu. Kemo sha'atzel oseh ma sha'adam oseh. Kacha borei baruch hu kiviyachol oseh ma sha'adam oseh. How does that sound? Just like the tzer. The tzel follows you around, you pick up your hand, the tzel picks up its hand. Or you pick up your foot, the tzel picks up its foot. Hashem Tzilcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the tzel. You do something, God does something. Now this is a remarkable thing to say, in spite of the pasuk, Because one would have thought that God initiates whatever God wants to do. But here, the Baal Shem Tov said about Hashem Tzilcha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows your lead. Lakach tzaricha adam lasot mitzvot, v'litein tztaka, ularachem al ha'aniyim. That's why we are enjoined, directed to give charity, to have mercy on the poor. Kedeshi asav borei baruchu gam kein imo tovot. In other words, it's not so much that giving charity or having concern for the underprivileged is going to solve the problem. The problem will be solved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to solve the problem, we have to express a willingness to do what we can. To do what we can, even though in the big picture, our willingness may not be that significant. It doesn't necessarily produce a special kind of result. V'ine amida hazot nikra ko. Ko, remember ko? You see the pasuk? See the first pasuk? Ko tibarchu et b'nei Yisrael. That's what the pasuk says, the second pasuk. Kav Gimel. Kol tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael. So you know that there's always a problem when you have little words of pointing that don't seem to be necessary. Kol, this is the way. This is the way. It's a kind of an interjection or a deictic interjection. It says, this. Like, this is the way. And then what does the Torah say? And the Torah didn't say ko, it'd be the same. We would also know, because the Torah tells us what you're supposed to say. So here along comes the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi says, idea bidazot nikra ko. This imitative, you know, everybody says in Latin, imitatio dei. But when you say two words in a sentence, you don't know who's imitating whom. Are we imitating God? Or, as the Kedushas Levi says, maybe God is imitating us? The imitation of God? Hinei amidah zot nikra ko. Ki perush hamilah shel ko hu kach. This is what the word means. Perush kimo shehu oseh. Kimo shehu oseh. Gam kein haborei baruch hu oseh. That whenever you say kol, you want to emphasize the fact that God will also do that. Kol tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael. You come and you say Yivarech Hashem Yisrorecho, and God will also say Yivarech Hashem Yisrorecho. Is that yadua? Shaborei baruchu rotzeh leitiv lamo Yisrael. Ki yoter mima sha'egel rotzeh linok, para rotzeh la'anik. I mean, this is even in the Gemara. Right? More than the calf wants to suckle. The cow wants to give the milk, right? What's that? The cow wants the calf to suckle. V'tzaricha adam shomei b'palef ne'a b'rei baruch hu kol tfilat shmon esro sha'ar divrei tachnunim tzarich l'tpalef rak sheyela b'rei baruch hu ta'anug mizeh. This is all that tefillah is. I'm davening, this Kedushas Levi said, I'm davening because I want God to find pleasure in the created world. And so I am davening. Rak sheyeh l'haborei baruch hu ta'anug mizeh. Kmo she'amru b'mishnah, im lamadet Torah harbei, al tazik Torah la'atzmecha, ki lekach notzarta perush. What does the Mishnah mean in Pirkei Avot? Sheyeh ma'aseh shel adam rak kedei sheyeh l'borei ta'anug mizeh. That God should find pleasure in me. That's why I daven. I don't daven to tell God what to do. I don't daven, you know, somebody is sick, so I don't daven to say, look, this person is sick, I think he should get well, so could you please do what I say? It's not like that. It's that the sick person reminds me of the fragility of my existence. And within the context of that fragility, I become a davener. I realize that I can't solve the problem. Now, does this change because I happen to know somebody who's sick? No. But there's sometimes things that happen in the world that make it possible for you to do something that otherwise you would be unable to do. So you say that could you daven? I can't daven. I mean, I can't daven. I don't feel like davening. It doesn't grab me right now. I can't daven. Along comes a situation, you know, some terrible tragedy, some tsunami of one kind or another. All of a sudden, I recognize the fact that I really can daven, and that davening is sort of the only thing I can do. So the whole thing is to give God pleasure that man/woman has discovered this capacity in themselves. And it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to add up how many people said it Mishaberech for somebody or other. That's kind of irrelevant. Kmosh Amuba Mishnayim Avatara Arbeya Tachzik Tova Lasmachal Kach Notzarta Perushi Yama Aseh Shel Adam Rakedei שיהיה להבורא תענוג מזה, וזה ידוע. כשאדם מתפלל בשבילו, אזי נקרא מקבל. וכשאדם רוצה לקבל דבר, אוחז אגב יד לארץ, ותוך יד למעלה. When you want to get something, you go like this. You don't go like this. Give me. You know, like, that's what... Remember the Netziv? No. You don't remember? The Netziv, there are two kinds of Birkat Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. Listen to Kudashat Levi. He says, Ochez Agav Yad La'aretz. He said, I'm sorry, V'zei Yaduk, Shadam Itpalel Bishvilo himself, Azay Nikra Mekabel. Ukshadam Otzel Kabel Davar, Ochez Agav Yad La'aretz. Right, like this. V'atoch Yad Le'malo. I mean, just imagine, you know, people who are like begging on the streets. Isn't that what they do? That's how you do it. Aval kshadam mitpalel rak sheyeh leborei baruch hu ta'anug mizeh. Azay nikra mashpia. He says, but if I'm davening because I want God to have pleasure in the creatures that he has created, azay nikra mashpia, he's giving out. שהוא משפיע כבר יוכל בבורא ברוך הוא, והמשפיע אוחז גב יד למעלה. Like this. בתוך היד למטה. In other words, when you want to take, you hold your hand this way. But you want to give, you hold your hand that way. וזה פירוש הפסוק, כל תברכו את בני ישראל. This is why the pasuk says, כל תברכו את בני ישראל. היינו שיברכו את ישראל כדי... שיהיה לבורא ברוך הוא תענוג מזה ותהיו אתם משפיעים כביכול בבורא ברוך הוא. ואחר כך בורא ברוך הוא ישפיע לכם טובות וברכות על ישראל, כמו שאמרנו, שזה המידה נקרא כל. כמו שישראל עושים כביכול הבורא ברוך הוא, גם כן עושה ומשפיע. Let's look again at the העמק דבר לפי הפשט. שני אופני ברכות כהנים היו בית המקדש. חדו בנשיאת כפיים. כמו האומר לחברו, וחדו בתפילו כדי איסו בסכס תומד, etc. So according to HaMekdavar, he quotes the Gemara that says that they did it twice, in two different ways. According to the Kedushat Levi, you have to understand, how did the Kohanim do it? They do it like this, right? So they hold their hands like this. You're not supposed to look, but this is like just a workshop. We have like a priestly workshop. You hold your hands like this. Okay, they also dray around with their fingers a little bit, but I mean basically they hold their hands like this. Why do they hold their hands like that according to the according to the Kedushas Levi. Because you hold your hands like this, it's a sign that you're giving a bracha, that you're asking for the bracha to be given. When you hold your hands like this, it means you want to get something. If you turn to God and you hold your hands like this, you ever see people daven like that? So that means they want something. But the Kohanim, their job is not to want something. It's to bring down the bracha on everybody in the world. So that's Kol Tivarchu et Bnei Yisrael. When you bless Bnei Yisrael, it's got to be giving. It's an act of giving. You're a mashpia. You're giving what it is that you got. So if the question that we didn't ask was, what do I need the Kohanim for? Why can't everybody daven for themselves? Well, that's the reason. Because everybody davens for himself. But the Kohanim are taught to daven for Klal Yisrael. And that's why we need, that's why I need the Kohanim. Have a good Shabbos. Mariv. Who's the gabbai? Every shul needs a gabbai. Oh, thank you. You know how to close. You mean you know how to close this?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I don't like doing it. There are conversations.
Yeah, and all that. Oh, I know what to do. Just close it on top. No, you have to keep it down, I think. I guess I was wrong. Yes, so
yeah. I got my focus over there. I'm going to put my focus over there.